Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I'm Associate Pastor Brock Williams, and like I said, I started as a youth pastor, but I've been associate now for a couple of years, and excited to share with you this morning. It's more of a teaching this morning, which is not always my forte. I'm very much the preaching, screaming guy, okay? Well, a little bit of a teaching this morning. We're going to look at an aspect of the church, not just an aspect of the church, but the way the church is supposed to operate, how we're supposed to configure ourselves, because this is important for the health of the church, because overall, what is the purpose of the church? There's many purposes of the church, but one of the things that we're meant to do is go and make disciples of all nations. What we're supposed to do is keep expanding the kingdom of God. What we're supposed to do is be fishers of men, and it's nice that we get to come to church and be a part of this group atmosphere, and we get to come here and we get to hear the word preached, usually by somebody a little more eloquent than me, but still, you're here, sorry. All right, but you get this experience, but there's more to it than that, because the church is not just the place, right? It's not just the building, it's the people. And that wasn't established until the New Testament. Isn't that interesting to think about? I mean, they weren't really called Christians in the Old Testament, really. It's hard for me to fathom sometimes. I don't know about you, but it's hard to fathom, like, the people in the Old Testament that followed God, they didn't know Jesus, per se. They knew of the prophecy. They knew of a coming Messiah, but they didn't get to, like, look back at their scripture text and say, well, Jesus was a real man. They were living by faith on he'll get here, and they were planting seeds that they would never see the fruit of on earth. So it's interesting. But there's an aspect of this that I want to get into, the church body, all right? And we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to jump around a little bit in this chapter, okay? And also, Justin is doing rounds today, but he'd be proud of me. My brother-in-law, Justin, he served as a youth leader with me for many years, and anytime I had him cover for me, you knew it was going to be that old school 90s object lesson with the 3-point message. And I have a little bit of an object lesson this morning. So for you visual learners, all right? But, and the reason I'm so confident about this and this message is because, like I said, boss man got sick, mom got sick. Well, on Wednesday, I had to cover for him as well with our prayer and worship service. But on Wednesday, I went home and I came back to the office, and that night, all of a sudden, like as service was wrapping up, I started to get like chills. And I was like, please no. Please no. Like, this can't be happening. I can't get sick. I gotta cover for services. I have to be at the office tomorrow. I have responsibilities. Well, I got home later that night and I'm laying in bed and I'm like, yeah, this is a fever. This is pretty bad. This isn't fun. I'm cold and I'm hot and I'm sweating and then I'm cold and then my head is about to explode and I'm like, this is not fun at all. And I'm trying to go to bed because I'm like, the best thing I got to do is just sleep. I got to be up in the morning. I don't care how many Red Bulls I got to drink. I got to be at the office. But it was right around midnight, all of a sudden, I got this idea for a message, for a sermon. And I was like, well, that's pretty good. And like this kind of demonstration of it that I feel like I was just imagining. And I was like, oh, that's super good. Well, we just rearranged our bedroom, and so I didn't have my side table, which I usually keep like a pen and paper there because my dad always taught me, if the Lord's speaking to you, it's worth waking up and writing it down because you're probably not going to remember it in the morning. So I was like, okay, well, my side table's not there. So I'm like, okay, I got to get up, go to the kitchen, grab my phone, write in my notes, write the idea that I had, and I go lay back down, and I'm just like, oh, shivering but sweating, you know? And I'm like, Lord, I will preach this message this Sunday, which at this point I didn't know that I was preaching today. I was like, I will preach that message this Sunday if I wake up tomorrow feeling great. Lord, I will research. I will look into everything. You know, the bargaining that we do. I was like, Lord, I don't know. I'll preach this message this Sunday if I just wake up feeling great. It was a miserable night's sleep, on and off, fever dreams. I was having some wild dreams, waking up stressed out beyond belief, like, oh, thank goodness. That's just my 105 temperature. Just kidding. I don't know if it was 105. It was just crazy. And I was going through this whole thing, and then 5 a.m. came rolling around. I was like, finally, I'm going to take an ibuprofen. I let the fever do its thing. I need to just take an ibuprofen for my headache. Took an ibuprofen, laid back down, slept for 3 hours, woke up, totally fine. Totally fine. And I was like, okay, where's my Bible? I said, all right, well, that's the deal. And then it was the next day that boss man was like, hey, you're going to probably have to preach Sunday. And I was like, I got a message. I said, we got it figured out. The Lord's got us. So that's why I'm confident in this message this morning and sharing this with you, that it's for a time such as this. All right? But in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, we'll start with verse 4. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but is the same God who does the work in all of us. We're going to jump to verse 12. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some of us are slaves, some of us are free, but we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, then does not make it any less part of the body. Continues on with another demonstration of this. If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would it be if it had only one part? Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. This is the diagram, the layout of the church, a demonstration of not just an illustration of how it is perceived, but how it is to function. Okay? Because like I said, the purpose of the church is not just for us to come to a church building, but what is the purpose of the church as in you? Your purpose, your design. What is it? Yes, the purpose of relationship with God, but what is it beyond that? To be used by God. For many have been given gifts, right? We've all been given a different gift, spiritual gifts and other services that we are good at. The scripture also talks about different offices that are held, right? Teachers, apostles, disciples, all these different things that there's different offices that are held. There's different gifts and services that are demonstrated in scripture and other things that we are to utilize as being part of the body of Christ. And part of the body of Christ's purpose that I mentioned before was the fact that we are to go into the world and make disciples of all nations, that we are to be fishers of men. This is where I'm going to need some volunteers. I'm going to need 5 people. So, Joe, thanks for volunteering. Come on up here. I need 4 more people. 4 more people. People who are willing to, yeah, come on up. Vince, you're coming up? Yep, that's what I'm talking about. Shirley, come on up. Yeah, we need a lady. Why not? Need a lady. Isaac, thank you. Yes, perfect. Why not? Larissa, thank you. We need 6. That's perfect. Can't leave Shirley alone up here. Need another girl. That's perfect. Okay, awesome. And you guys are lined up fairly well. That's great. Awesome. Cool. I want you guys to step a little bit more forward like this, and I want you to get a little closer together, almost shoulder to shoulder. You got to get comfortable with people, all right? Sorry. Okay? This is the body of Christ, okay? This is the church body. This is the demonstration of the different parts of the body that we are called to be, because it is the same Spirit. Remember, at the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. So now the same Spirit is in him, as in her, as in him, as in him, as in him, as in her. The same Spirit connects them all. If you could visually imagine the connection there. The connection there. Okay? But the moment, step forward, please, all of you, just take a couple steps forward up close. But then the moment that this man right here gets the glory. Yeah. He understood the assignment. He understood the assignment. He understood the assignment. Really quick, actually, what's your name?
Larissa.
Vince.
Okay, just for those that didn't know who they were, they're part of your church body, so now you know them, all right? You could tell them what a great job they did after service. But the moment he gets the glory, again, he did it, and he gets jealous. Now he wants to be this part of the body. He wants to be just like him. Well, now Shirley says, why do they get to be cool? And she wants to be just like them. Now, Joe, as cool as you are, wrestled at Iowa, goes up there and sings beautifully, plays that guitar, but he still looks and sees the glory. The glory. Yep, there we go. Okay, she did it. Yeah, all right. Now, look, this part of the body is disconnected. Feeling left out. There's hurt. There's offense. There's loneliness. There's burnout. Why does everybody have to be like him? This is the body of Christ. What happened? Not only that, if you were to tell them to don't do this, but if you were to tell them to go walking through a crowd, guess what? This is nice and easy. I can slip right past you. But now, if you go back to the body of Christ again, please, go back to the body, the way that you're supposed to function, the way that you're supposed to be, and you go walking through a crowd, I cannot find my way through. It's almost like a fish trying to get through a net. Fishers of men. You see, as a fishers of men, it is the Spirit that connects each one of us, forming a connection here. And though there's different parts of the body, we need them in order to fulfill our purpose. To illustrate this, to show this, that we don't all want to be, well, I mean, you're good looking. I wouldn't mind looking more like you, but we don't all have to be like Mark. We don't. You're meant to be who God called you to be. You're meant to serve in the way that you were meant to serve. And that's according to God's word and the Holy Spirit in your life and what giftings he's given you. Because he gives those gifts according to his will. Scripture tells us. But the moment that you want to be like someone else, the body fails. Scripture says, when someone is suffering in the body, we all suffer. And it's not just because of empathy and compassion, but it's because of that disconnect, remember? It's because of that disconnect, all of a sudden the body will fail. And when that happens, it wasn't just the hurt and the bitterness and the offense, but it was also the, what's wrong with me? And it's all because he didn't stay in his place. Now, Isaac, this is a demonstration, all right? We're not being prophetic here. I don't think so. That's up to you and the Holy Spirit. Thank you, people. You can go sit down. Thanks so much. But You see this? The Holy Spirit connects each and every one of us and is gifted every single one of us. And you have services and abilities and things that we are meant to do for one another in the body of Christ. That we are supposed to operate as the body of Christ, but the moment that we become bitter, the moment that we become complaining, the moment we don't live in harmony, the moment the body of Christ breaks again. And it needs to be restored again so that it can function. Like I said, as a net, as a way moving forward to collect the people. To collect the lost people. But understand this. In order to maintain that, we have to know how to treat one another. You're not going to reach the lost by treating your brothers and sisters in Christ poorly. You could justify it all you want. You could say whatever you want. Whatever, might I say, baloney you want. You cannot treat a brother and sister in Christ poorly and expect to go reach the lost and have it mean something. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone. Pause, especially, do we know what that word means? Especially, specifically, at a heightened level, right? A little more taken care of, a little more attention, a little more effort, a little more of my time, especially to those in the family of faith. I don't care how much you volunteer at the food pantry. I don't care about your good works. I don't care about how many people you feed on the corner. I don't care about changing the tire on the side of the road. That stuff's well and good. That's not the point of what I'm saying. I want you to continue those things. But if you come to church and you don't treat your brother and sister in Christ in the same manner, if not better, if there is a brother and sister in Christ in here who is in need and you overlook their need, but you're willing to serve the people in the world, you are lost. It says, especially those in faith. We are to take care of one another in this building before we take care of the world. Don't like it? Your argument's not with me. Your argument's with the Bible. Now understand this. When I was dialoguing with my wife last night about this message, she was like, well, we're still supposed to do good. I said, yes, of course. We're supposed to help those in need. It said, do good for everyone. I'm not saying don't do good for the world. I'm not saying go do good for the lost. I'm not saying treat them kindly and do things for them. But I'll tell you what, you are missing the way the body of Christ is supposed to work and function. And if we miss the way that it functions, that's the moment that there's gaps. That's moments where the net is broken. And the way the body is supposed to function is that we take care of one another first. As much good we want to do in this world and much, but we make up the excuse, well, I'm a Christian, and if I do something nice for the people that are out in the community who don't go to church, that's like a good PR thing for the church. It's not why I do it, of course, but it's a good thing for the church. Well, the way we love one another is a demonstration as well. Scripture tells us that. They'll know God by the way we love one another. So instead of superseding one with the other because it makes you feel good on your time off, how about you follow God's word? How about that? How about we function as the body of Christ and take care of one another? Take care of one another so that the body of Christ can be functional, can work. Because you have gifts and you have service, yet when you show up to church, what are you doing here? It is awesome that you get to come here and feel refreshed, spend time in worship, hear a message that hopefully doesn't offend you. Sorry, that's not today. But what are you doing here What are you doing here? Is it really that you were in the desert all week long and now you finally get to the watering hole? Because I've heard it before is, oh, I can't really serve in nursery today. I can't serve in kids today. Oh, I can't really do that today. I just need to be in service today. I just need to be in service today. That, we attend church for this, sure. But did you know that actually you could get that at home? Why are you acting like you're in the desert all week? You're a Christian. Act like it. What do you mean? What do you mean? What? You're not in the desert all week. The spring of life flows within you. The Holy Spirit is within you. God is around you. You live in a free country where the Bible is printed in how many 50 million versions that some are heresy and some are not, so be careful, but how many 50 million different versions that will make you feel comfortable and understand it at your reading level, even if you have my reading level, okay? Like, you have all of this surrounding you. You have every bit of opportunity to experience the presence of God. There is no Ark of the Covenant anymore. I mean, you know what I mean. There's no holy place where we gotta wash our hands before we go in and pull the veil and do these things. No. Omnipresent is God. He is everywhere at all times. And the scripture verse that talks about nothing can separate us from his love. So when I am throughout the week and struggling and hurting and, oh, it's such a terrible day and I just can't wait for church on Sunday, you're silly. We'll say that. Why am I telling you this? Because the reason you come to church should not just be for that. Scripture talks about in Acts, I think it's in chapter 2. I could walk up there and read it to you, but I like being down here. It talks about what they did when they gathered together. Teaching was on the list, sure. But fellowship, breaking of bread, prayer. How many Sundays do you go through without praying for somebody? Praying with somebody. How many Sundays do you come in late or come in early but come in straight in here and don't go into coffee time to break bread with people? Hey, This is not to condemn anybody, all right? Okay? I'm not condemning anybody, all right? And I understand, guess what? Cold mornings, vehicles, there's lots of reasons why you might be late or you might this or that. What I'm sharing with you is a perspective of what we are called to do when we come to church is more than just get fed spiritually. Yes, you're supposed to come here and you're supposed to hear the word of God. You're supposed to experience worship. But guess what? You don't need the church building for that. You don't need Sunday mornings for that. So then why are you here? Is it just to show a demonstration to God that you're willing to sacrifice your time for a couple hours once a week to show up to church? If you want, I can help you. I can make it 3. There's no Packer game today. He's a Chiefs fan. You hear that, Jesse? You hear that, Jesse? That's the sound of the people who don't have a game today. Hey, guess what? My Texans are at home, too, so oh, I'm messing around. The only reason why I cheer for anybody in that game is because I love my brother, not because I love any of the players. It's because I love and support my brother. That's why. So when we look at the body of Christ and how it's supposed to operate and what we are supposed to do, we need to look at the health of what I demonstrated with you with this line of people. Are you serving your role? Are you serving your purpose? Are you active in your gifts? What are your gifts? Good question. That's a different sermon on all the different gifts and how to find that on all the different stuff. And we could get into that sometime. Maybe we'll do a teaching this summer about it, or you could grab a book, or you can open up your Bible. Hey, but all these different things that you could do, what I'm sharing with you is that we need to take time to look at this. And we need to understand how the body of Christ is supposed to work. We, as the church, are supposed to work and function so that we can carry out our purpose in a more efficient manner. Because it's all a house divided of itself, or divided against itself, cannot stand. So the more that there's hurt, offense, and this and that, and all this stuff going on, and I want to be like you, and I want to be like you, and I want to be like you. But you know what part of the problem is these days, too, is not so much the body of Christ like this. It's where it's like everybody wants to be that single file where they all want to be the same part. You know what it ends up being? Is nobody wants to be the body of Christ, and everybody just wants to look at the pastor. Or everybody just wants to look at the kidsmen leader. Everybody wants to look at them, and they just show up to get fed, fast food, McDonald's, feed, leave. That's not the way it's supposed to be, neither. Either. It's not the way it's supposed to be. Each and every single one of you has something to contribute to this church. And I'm not talking about the building, and I'm not talking about the business, and I'm not talking about the nonprofit, whatever, government stuff, whatever. I don't understand any of that stuff. But I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about the person sitting next to you. I'm talking about the person that has a need that you've been overlooking while you're serving the lost. You have a story, you have a testimony, you have a gifting, you have an ability that God has given you, and it is up to us to glorify him with it by serving the church, by serving the body, and yes, also meeting the needs of the downtrodden, meeting the needs of the lost and all these things. But first comes the church. First comes your brothers and sisters in Christ. It's time to start living in your purpose. It's time to start living in your giftings. You can't keep doing this same thing of showing up, getting fed, leaving, and treating it like the watering hole in the desert. I'll tell you what, you volunteer in the kids' ministry, you volunteer to usher, you volunteer to greet, you volunteer to do any of these things, tech, worship team, any of these things. You're serving the body with the gifting you have. And no, we're not hurting for volunteers, and that's why I'm sharing this, okay? Relax. Don't be cynical. I want to see this church grow beyond where we're at. And it's not because the business. It's because the kingdom of God. Because reality is, I'm not going to be here forever. So I don't really care about the business. But where I am going to be forever is in a place where I want to see as many people as possible. So what are we doing to benefit that? What are we doing to grow that as the calling upon our life according to Scripture? Meanwhile, we're in here causing offense and hurt and arguing and this and that over our personal feelings, over why do they get glory and I don't? Why are they acting rude to me? Let me just criticize. Scripture's clear that the body of Christ is supposed to live harmoniously together without division. You've been hurt and offended? You have two options. You overlook an offense or you confront them. Scripture's clear. And Scripture's clear on when you're supposed to confront them and when you're supposed to overlook. You overlook an offense if it's a one-time thing, a matter of opinion, it wasn't intentional, and so on and so forth. But you have to look at that objectively and not in your pity party. When are you to confront them? When it's a severe sin issue that is causing harm to other people, and I'm not just talking about harm to your feelings, harm to other people, and it's a consistent, habitual pattern of sin that is now becoming public that is now causing a greater harm to the body of Christ. That is when you are supposed to confront. But if somebody just happened to do something one Sunday where it felt like they snubbed you or this happened or this happened, Scripture's clear, overlook that. They do it again, they do it again, they do it again, then they did it to somebody else, then they did it to somebody else. Now you go talk to them. And how you talk to them? In love. This isn't the body of Christ and you're the coach and you get to say who's starting and who's on the bench. This isn't I get to go up to them and say, hey, you didn't do your role out there. You're no longer a hand. You got to go to the tail end, buddy. No. Your goal anytime that you go to somebody who is causing a hurt or an offense or whatever it is, whether it's to you or other people, you go to them and your goal is to restore them to their glory. Your goal is to love them, to see them serve the way that they were called to serve, to see them become who they once were when it was so great and awesome and you saw the hand be the superstar. I want to see you do that again. The goal, because to go over to somebody and criticize them because and whatever and confront them on the offense that they caused is not going to make you stop being a foot. Right? Knocking somebody down doesn't make you taller, right? We've heard that. It's the same premise. It's the same thing. You know what else? The reason you're hurt and offended sometimes is because you're judging them according to your gifting and not theirs. You're not judging them according to a biblical standard. You're judging them according to the way that you operate. Guess what? They don't operate the way you operate. They aren't you, and guess what? The way you operate is probably deeply flawed too. You just don't see it. We rarely do when we look at ourselves. It's why you get married. No, okay. They help you out. My wife reminds me. She's like, I'm here to humble you. What are you talking about? I said, no, you're not. You're supposed to make me feel like Superman. Oh, with the body of Christ, we can't sit there and judge other people. I'll tell you what, I had to learn this. I had to learn this early on in youth ministry. Because I was young with all the time in the world. My only job was working here. 19, 20 years old. I didn't have money to do anything. And I lived at home. And ministry was all I had. And I was so young that most of the friends that I had were still in the youth ministry that I was now in charge of. So then when you did ministry, you were doing ministry. And then when you hung out with friends, you were still hanging out with the same people. It was fun. But all I did 24/7. Was ministry. What am I doing right now? It's 11 o'clock at night, and I'm thinking about, what am I doing right now? I got to text this person. I got to do this. I got to, what about this? What am I, tomorrow? All these different things, okay? And this isn't how great I am, because I was still very bad at ministry. It's just that I did it all the time. Well, then when I would be in charge of the youth group, and then I would have youth leader meetings, and I would look at my youth leaders, and I'm like, what are you doing? Do you know how ministry works? Do you know how ministry works? Why are you a youth leader? You have no idea how ministry works. Why is it that hard to grasp the concept of this person's over here sitting alone, go over there and talk to them? Like, why is this hard to grasp? I was so judgmental. I was judging them according to my gifting, what I did. I held them to the standard that I held myself to. Guess what? They weren't youth pastors. They were youth leaders. They were volunteer on a Wednesday night wanting to contribute to God's kingdom. And they had to deal with me being like, what are you doing? I remember that long meeting with my father where I had to learn. Some leaders are the event leaders. Some leaders are soldiers. They follow orders very well, but they're not going to initiate. Some are the dreamers. Some are the spiritual ones. Some are the ones that know how to plan the event, and they're really fun. Some of them are the ones that can sit and have a serious conversation. Some are the ones that could do any wild thing that you ask them to do for the kids. Every single one of the leaders had a different gifting. And when I learned that, and then I understood that, and then I placed them in a position to do that, well, looky there. How amazing that worked out. And then people look at you like, you're good at developing leaders. No, I'm not. Okay, all right. Yes, he is. He is. All right. My father is. Oh, you're right. Well, see, we can't judge other people. The hand can't look at the foot and be like, why aren't you good at painting? Now, maybe some of you can paint with your feet. Then, okay, whatever. But you get the point. All right? Okay? Quit being technical. It's a weird world we live in. But you can't judge other people. And guess what? When you do, it's going to cause offense in you. It's going to cause a frustration in you. And it's going to now cause a separation in the body of Christ. And if you go and confront them on that manner, now the damage you've done to them, you're asking them to single file line instead of encourage them to do what they're supposed to do. Confront or overlook. That's how we handle offense, according to Scripture, within the body of Christ. Criticism is not on that list. Creating conflict is not on that list. Gossiping and going to somebody else and venting about your problem, not on that list. If you want to cause division, if you want to cause hurt, if you want to cause strife, if you want to cause division in the body of Christ, then by all means, go down that road. And the wheat and the chaff will be separated at some point. We have to understand how this works. And that's why I'm sharing with you this morning. Because if we are going to grow as a church, if we're going to see so many new people come in as a church, if we're going to see the young families bloom and blossom and all these different things, the ministries are going to grow. We're going to go into new uncharted territories. Leadership is going to make decisions and all these different things going on, and volunteers are going to not do well and fail, and people are going to struggle with this, struggle with that, struggle with this, struggle with that. It's going to be growing pains, right? I'm talking very practically right now about our church. Growing pains. It's a new era. I remember when we first came here. I mean, I think there were some young families, but it was an older generation. Well, now, I don't know if you walk around, Dave's nodding his head, because I remember me and Dave playing tic-tac-toe and stuff back when they met with my dad in Rice Lake at North Nook. Yeah, because my dad used to pastor in a place called Hibbing, Minnesota, a.k.a. Depression, Minnesota. I'm just kidding. It's very dark and gloomy and snows like 10 months out of the year. Anyway. And he took me with him to Rice Lake, North Nook, best pie in the world. Amen. And we met with some people from this church. And Dave was there. You remember what the church looked like back then? There's a lot of young families around here right now. There's a lot of toddlers, babies. More coming. Yeah. When things change, you find a new way to make it work. So there's a practicality that comes with that, but there's also a grace that's needed as the growing pains happen. I remember when I was growing when I was young, and it hurt a lot. knees and shins and stuff. Like, it just hurt. My legs would hurt. I was a whiny little soft little. You know how easy it would have been for my parents to have been like, just be quiet. Just knock it off. Just quit. Growing pains is going to cause some problems. We got to have grace and understanding. You don't like the way somebody's doing something? Okay, how would you do it? Show us, please. Volunteer, demonstrate. Let's see it. It's your church. It's your church. This is your church. When you look at the practical sense, when you look at the ministries available, when you look at what's going on, this is your church. This is the church you participate in. That's why church shopping and church jumping and, well, I go here some Sundays, I go here other Sundays, I go here some Sundays. Baloney. Not scriptural. Not theologically scriptural. Because everything I told you this morning about being the body of Christ, how can you be the body of Christ to two bodies? How can, okay, detach my hand and go put it on this other body. No, that's not how it works. And that we don't give up meeting together. So you find your church. It might not be here. That's okay. But you find your church, you get plugged in, and you operate as the body of Christ. Period. And you don't cause division, and you don't cause criticism. You don't slide behind the scenes and talk about it. No. You know the people that do that? Are the people that are here like a fast food restaurant. They're here just to get fed, and they criticize and they complain when they feel like, well, I'm not being served the way that I'm supposed to be served, so let me complain about it. Let me cause division. Because when complaining, when seeing a flaw, when being critical, what we want is other people on our side. Because that spirit believes that the more people that agree with me, it means I'm right. When has that ever been the truth? So let's be the body of Christ. Let's be the church. Let's be the church, the living church, the growing church. Let's do this together, united. There's a church that was described in Acts. Nothing was anybody's personal belonging. They were a community. They were of one mind, of one heart, and followed God. So a lot of people want to talk about, well, let's go to Scripture and be like the original church. Well, it goes on to tell us that the rich would sell all their land and all their houses and give the money to the apostles so that they could give it to the needy in the church. So would you do that? Would you sell all that you own, give the money to me, and trust that I would give that money to the people in the church that need it? Would you do that? You want to be like the original church. Now, guess what? I'm not saying that's how the body of Christ should operate. I'm not saying that. I'm not going to put you in that position. I'm not putting me in that position. But if we want to look at Scripture and we want to talk about the united manner of the church, where is that now? What needs are you aware of in somebody else's life next to you? That's the other thing, is we're supposed to be able to turn to the person next to us and tell them our need. And no, your need is not your complaint about so-and-so and this and that. That's not your need. If you got to complain about that, guess what? There are three pastors on this staff with more time than you can imagine. Come meet. Come talk. That's your options. And we'll talk through the overlooking or the confronting or whatever it may be. But the need you have is the, I got a leaky roof. I don't know what to do. I got some firewood that needs split. I hurt my back. I can't do it. My husband's been sick. I've got 16 toddlers. I'm just kidding. That's what it seems like we're on record for some of you guys. Anyway, we got a bunch of toddlers. We just really need a meal. We just need a meal. That's right. That's what it's about, is letting people know there is no saving face. There is no, well, I don't want them to know that I'm in need. I don't want them to know about my financial struggle. I don't want them to know about it. I don't want them to know. Okay, then keep hiding in secret and isolating yourself. And guess what? You're not just harming yourself, but you're harming the body of Christ, the church body. Sorry, not the body of Christ, the church body. You could play. You don't have to just stand there. I was wondering where the Holy Spirit was. Okay, there we go. No, I'm just kidding. It always makes it more anointed when the piano comes in. And it's a sign of closing. But you want to volunteer? You want to contribute? You want to serve? Guess what? It's not only in the places of the kids ministry, the youth ministry, the college career, the this and that and the other and all these different things. Guess what? There's some people, like Scripture says, there's people that are meant to teach. There's people that are meant to teach. I mean, look at our very own Felicia Abbott. She's not here today. Chelsea's here. But she usually stands up here, and she literally will meet with people and talk to them about instruments and share with them some knowledge and get them any sort of resource they need. And then on top of that, she's leading a Bible study or led a Bible study about Joseph. You want to lead a Bible study? All you got to do is come talk to the pastors and we're like, yeah, sounds good. Or, hey, try this one. Or what do we, and we equip you and we help you and we work on that sort of thing. You want to host people at your house? You know how many of you have insanely beautiful homes? It's awesome. It's so cool. I've gotten to see a few of them. What is the point if you don't have people over? What is the point? How many chairs do you have around your dining room table? How often are they filled? There are times where we need to be cautious. There are times where we need to take a little bit of time and have the Lord work on us. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. There's times where we need to, yes, I need to be in the service today. Absolutely. I'm not saying every single one of your Sundays you better be in that nursery. No. We take care of the needs of each other. And it works. It works. And then we are better for it. We serve the purpose that God called us to, and we can reach the world better. We can truly reach the lost better if we just start being the body, if we start being the church in the way that it was supposed to be, not just a bunch of superstars, but a team. A team in unity. Operating in our giftings. Not everybody's Michael Jordan. You need the Steve Kerrs. You need the, well, do we need the Dennis Rodmans? I guess in the basketball context, we need Dennis Rodman, the defensive rebounder. You need the Scottie Pippins. You need the people who I can't even name on the roster because you don't know who they are. You need them. It's a team. One is not greater than the other because they all contribute to the growth and the living and the victory.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.